Good morning. Welcome to the study of the Word of God. This is Spring Valley Bible Church. My name is Chris Daigh. I will be teaching this morning. Actually, the Holy Spirit will be teaching this morning. I'm just hoping I can stay out of His way. So excited that everybody's here this morning. You know, we've been talking to some folks and friends, family. You know, there's still a whole bunch of churches that still will not meet in person and will not gather together. I mean, online, the teaching is out there, and there's some. I hear a lot of wonderful teaching. What a blessing to be able to walk in here this morning. And Phil and I were joking that, you know, three people show up at 9 o'clock and, you know, 30 people show up at 10:45 or whatever time we are here. But the fact of the matter is we've determined that nobody wants to get up early. It's not Phil's teaching. It's the time of morning. But it is. That's right. Christians need their beauty sleep. And looking around, it's working. So I'm very, very pleased to be here this morning, having the opportunity to teach. We're going to move into 2 Peter. I taught 1 Peter a month or so ago, and what an honor that was to be able to talk about being an ambassador to Christ. And today we're going to start talking about, in 2 Peter, we're going to start talking a message that's very focused on the individuals of the church and the growing to spiritual maturity. And excited to be a part of that. Let me make sure I got my notes here. Let's prepare our minds for action as we study the Word of God this morning. And taking a moment to evaluate where we are. Are we carnal? Are we spiritual? Are we a believer? If you do not believe in the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, guess what? This is the time to believe. Because we're getting ready to open the Word of God, and without the belief in the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, without the filling of the Spirit, this is a study in academic knowledge, which I'm glad you'll be a part of. Would be more than happy for you to be a part of it, but it adds spiritual, eternal value when you're a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ and you're filled with the Spirit. So let's join together in prayer this morning as we get ready to open the Word. Heavenly Father, we thank You. We praise You. We are so honored to be a part of the family of God, be a child of the great giver of life, as Phil talked about this morning. Father, we just thank You for the opportunity to be here together as a church family. We thank You for the opportunity to use technology and those that are so blessed in the ability to help us with this technology to get the Word out to an audience that's beyond these walls. Father, we just pray this morning as we open Your Word that Your Spirit will be with us and all these things in our prayer requests, in our donations, in our worship and singing, and in our opening of the Word and learning who You are and what You've done for us. And Father, we thank You, we praise You, we love You, and we ask for You to be with us this morning and prepare our minds for action so that we can take in the study of the Word and edify it to our souls. In Christ's name, amen. Prayer requests this morning. Actually, we're going to go ahead and start with a song. That will be awesome. Let's do some singing. We can get up, stand up. You know, now that everybody's gotten up and driven over here, we can stand up, put our hands in the air. I'm not sure with the speed of the song this morning, but we're going to worship together. I'm off.
All right, let's join together. You can do this. Number 28. Psalm 28 is Rejoice, Ye Pure in Heart. 28.
Beneath the standard of
Fantastic. I didn't see a lot of hands in the air, but I was glad everybody was holding their hymnals. We'll get there with the hands in the air. Maybe we need to go some high tech and kick it up a notch. But no, beautiful song. Rejoice. Rejoice in all these things. Prayer requests this morning. Please continue to be in prayer for Pastor Maddox and Judith. Health-wise and recovery, and looking forward to the day you get to be back here in the pulpit and spend some. We have communion next week. Next week is communion.
Yes.
Pastor Maddox, or I'm not going to put you on the spot, but I'd love to have you join us for. Fantastic. So, all right, I did want to put you on the spot, but communion will be next week. Please come join us. Join us for communion. Fellowship together. Please be in prayer for the Risleys and their family in comfort and the continuing ministry that they have down in Mexico. Fastlane and Carrie, their challenges with regards to adoption and family and the things that they have going on over in Pakistan, but that their message will continue to be carried in Pakistan. Yes, ma'am.
Are they in Pakistan now or in United States?
I'm pretty sure they're here, right?
Yeah, they just went to a conference this last week in Washington.
Yeah.
Pakistan is opening back up. They got turn on the books, I believe, already.
Awesome. So, yes, please be in prayer. Continue to be in prayer there. Please be in prayer for the youth ministry. We've done our planning. We're getting ready to start kicking off some additional next level of detail planning with communications. And we have a public service announcement here in a minute talking about the Veterans Day celebration. Specifically, would you please be in prayer for a young man named Varian? Just a quick testimony there. He has come to our youth group in Wiley in the past, and we'll just say that he's got some challenges in his life and school and family, but he had been coming for a period of time, and the other day he came back, and I won't get into all the details of how he ended up there. Let's just say that God got him back to the youth group on Thursday night, and we were talking about the gospel and talking about the Bible and talking about truth. And he said, so how do I know God? How do I get to know God? And so we had the opportunity to talk to him about the gospel. And like I said, he's been coming before. And we just said, it's not about going to church. It's about understanding who Christ is and what he's done for us, and talked about the paying for our sins and forgiveness, and all it takes is faith and then the resurrection and our hope. And he said, he just looks at us and says, well, I believe that. And I just looked at him and said, amen. I mean, what else can you say other than, you know, praise the Lord. And so please be in prayer for Varian. We all have a long way to go. We're going to be talking about that today in 2 Peter with regards to maturing spiritually. But suffice it to say, it was a pretty an amazing moment to have this young man who a lot of people know in our community for less than wonderful ways to look at us and say, yeah, I believe that. praise God. Please be in prayer for Tish. I think there's some, I don't know, do you have an update on Tish?
There was a quick update. You know, she had the problem with her kidneys and related with heart, and she continuing on treatment on that. Her shoulder has been giving her a lot of pain, and she was trying to get that lined up to have her shoulder surgery. And with anesthesia that her kidneys and heart could handle, and then she got shingles, so she went from kidneys, shoulder, shingles. Well, shingles have subsided, so we only have shoulder and kidneys to pray for now.
Oh, amen. That's a prayer. That's a praise. That's a praise prayer if I've ever heard one. Well, we're praying for you, Tish. I know you're out there, so we're praying for you. And the Lord knows what he's doing, so we'll pray for the residing of the pain, and just that the doctors can figure out how best to work with Tish and her body and get her in a good place. Please be in prayer for our country. Election's coming. Please vote. Pray and vote. In fact, we have a sticker on the back of our son's car that's a his grandpa put on there. It says pray and vote, right? So please do both. It is our privilege, it is our right, and it is our obligation to vote. I'm not going to tell you who to vote for. I won't put a sticker out in front to tell you who to vote for. That's between you and the Lord, but vote and pray, and not necessarily in that order. But do please be in prayer for our country. Franklin Graham put out today, and it's not about Franklin Graham, but he put out, because he's got a huge audience and a congregation, prayer and fasting. Today is a day of prayer and fasting for our country. And so, hey, as the congregation of, I mean, the church of our Lord and the body of Christ, let's pray together for our country throughout the day today. Public service announcement? Yes, ma'am. Other prayer requests? Yes.
This is for Kathy Martin, Heather Hess' mother. She has kidney injuries. And we don't know the cause, but she went to the hospital. So she also ended up with diarrhea, some other problems as well. And you don't recall, she had a stroke several years back. Yeah, so please pray for her. She's hanging in there. And because she has to be physically well to be able to work, to support herself, so please pray for financial support for her as well.
Yes, please pray for Kathy Martin. That's Heather Hess's mom. Physical issues, and she does. She works constantly to make ends meet. So, please be in prayer for her as well. Other prayer requests?
Yeah, prayer for myself for what appears to be maybe a kidney infection. I am taking medication for it, but I'm currently waiting on some test results to come back to confirm that it's nothing more than that.
Kidney infection. All right. I wonder what it is with this congregation of kidneys.
Yeah. Yes, my brother Bobby, pretty sure he's on the prayer list already, but his depression has set back in, and he needs prayer. And his wife Gerlyn, and just God knows what he really needs, but he needs help. And then my sister Kelly here has needs prayer for some upcoming tests that are coming. I guess in November she'll be going back to a gynecologist.
So. Hey Kelly, welcome. We came from Oregon.
Yep.
California, Oregon, Texas. Moving in the right direction.
That's it. Yeah. I like Texas.
We are very glad you are here, and we're glad that Terry talked you into sticking around for a little while longer. So welcome. We're so happy to have you here this morning. Please be in prayer for Nick as he continues to have some ups and downs. Generally okay, but would love to see Nick's health continue to improve, get some energy back in his legs, get some energy back in his body. Went out and played a little basketball yesterday, which was awesome, but it typically will knock him down pretty hard. So I'm glad you're here this morning, bud.
I like his little nurse over there.
I will not elaborate on that at all. We're glad you are here. Pastor Maddox sits in the congregation, heckles. What's up with that? All right. Any other Veterans Day? Who wants to do the announcement on Veterans Day? Phil, you got some info on Veterans Day?
Martha said, please pray for Judith Wilson, whose cancer has returned for the fourth time.
Judith Wilson. Please pray for Judith Wilson.
This is probably
and ongoing cancer battles.
Yeah, fourth time. She's young.
Well, we will pray that the Lord knows what he's doing there. He's got a reason, but that's tough. Veterans Day. Would you like to give us any update on Veterans Day, Lori or Phil?
Just that it is. We're doing our yearly celebration of veterans the weekend after Veterans Day, which will be November 17th in the same location and 15th in Allen. I've got one out of five branches of service to represent. So if you've served in the armed forces locally, or and you live locally and would like to be a part of it, please contact us and let me know. And announcement went out last week about it in the prayer list. It was posted on Facebook. And if you're on the notifications list with the youth group, you got three messages that it's coming up, and the link to buy a balloon, to because we do a balloon release at the end of it. You can buy a balloon to, for the release for any veteran that you've known or want to honor, and that link is in that email, or I think it's available on our site as well. Leslie, post that link.
All right.
I was going to add real quick to that.
Yes, please.
Okay. Along with that, Terry has added an extra thing on the JOT form where you can put if you would like your veteran to receive a card from our youth, where you can put their address. So our veterans this year that we're going to send cards to are our own veterans that are through our church and our youth group and everything. So we just thought that'd be a special thing to do. So please, if y'all fill it out and you want your veterans to receive a card from the youth, make sure to put their address on there. So thank you, Terry.
And if you don't get on the internet, Annelle, if you want to give me a list of names in military, Lori or I will put them in for you. It's $5 a balloon. The donations go to helping our youth ministry and towards camp and stuff. So.
Yeah, and we are going to try to have some kind of, we're not going to do flag football. It's a little too close, probably, but maybe kickball or something, and try to get a number of our youth out there. And Larry and Brian are going to bring some individually wrapped snacks and drinks and stuff. So we're going to make a day of it in honor of veterans.
And it is outside.
So pray for good weather.
Pray for good weather. It's outside. It is a fundraiser, but it is also honoring our veterans. What time was it? 3 o'clock? 3 p.m. on November the 15th in Allen.
We need the list of the veterans probably by the 10th at the latest.
Please, if you'd like to honor a vet with a balloon purchase, go online and or get us a, I mean, we'll get you a hard copy. Please get that done by the 10th. By the 10th. November the 10th. So, yeah. And we are not opposed to calling people out who are late. Just saying. All right. Apparently, we're not opposed to calling anybody out around here. So, awesome. Donations. If you would like to donate to Spring Valley Bible Church, we live in in Satan's world. It takes money to keep the doors open, the lights on, and the internet going. So please, please feel free to donate. It's a grace gift. You do not have to feel obligated. We are focused on delivering the Word of God, and I love that John Hentz would say we will trade your beans for our gold. Actually, his gold. And so please drop it in the bucket in the back. I would love to say it's a bucket. It's a little shallow plate that because we want to make it look like there's more there. But look at online. If you're online, I'm sure at this point Leslie has put the donation link there available for us. So with that being said, let's pray together, and then I will get started in 2 Peter. So, Heavenly Father, as we open the Word, we beg you that the Spirit will be with us today. I ask that I can stay out of the Spirit's way, that as we read your Word, that we will be blessed the power of the Word of God. And Father, we thank you for all that you do for us. We thank you for this church. We lift up all of these prayer requests to you. You know what they are. And we just ask for those that are hurting, Father, that you give them peace, give them relief from their pain, heal their bodies. But Father, we ask that you do it in your will. And if it's not to be, then we ask that we all have the ability to recognize that you have a plan, and it's your timing, your will, and your glory that we are to pursue. Father, we thank you for everything that you do for us each day. In Christ's name, amen. So if you would turn with me to 2 Peter 1, I'm going to jump in here in just a second, but I would like to jump all the way to 2 Peter 1:12. So please open your Bible to 2 Peter 1:12 as we do the intro here. So for you all that have been either online or here in person listening to Phil teach in the morning. He's finished up 1 Timothy this morning, which was fantastic. But I wanted to start with this because if you've been listening to Phil, you're going to find that I'm going to repeat a lot of the stuff that Phil has already said in 1 Timothy, and we're going to cover it again in 2 Peter. But here's what Peter says about that. So I will always remind you of these things, meaning I will repeat again and again and again. I will always remind you of these things, even though you know them already and are firmly established in the truth that you now have. I think it is right to refresh your memory as long as I live in the tent of this body, because I know that I will soon put it aside as our Lord Jesus Christ has made clear to me, and I will make every effort to see that after my departure you will always be able to remember these things. So, to me, that is authorization to plagiarize and reuse stuff and repeat it many, many times. Herman, thank you for your faithful devotion to repeating the Word of God. So, with that as the opening argument, we are going to start 2 Peter this morning, and we will see how far we get. I'm going to ask that you all please take the opportunity to read 2 Peter before next week. It's all of 3 chapters, so it should not be too taxing. If you read fast, it's 15 minutes. If you read slow, it's 20. So please take 20 minutes this week. If you read like me, it's a lot longer than that. But please take the time this week to read 2 Peter. It will make a lot more sense if you've read it ahead of time. So a couple of things before we get started in actually reading the scriptures here. 1 Peter, which I've already taught, was focused on the believer knowing his position in Christ, and through faith, while enduring persecution, being an ambassador for Christ to the unbelieving world. So it was talking to us, 1 Peter was talking to us with regards to how are we an ambassador to Christ in the world? We're going to be under persecution. How are you going to respond to that? We're going to have challenges. How are you as a family, as an individual, how are you going to be an ambassador to Christ? How should you act? What are those things that are important in order to represent Christ to the world? 2 Peter shifts focus a little bit. All those things are still incredibly important and they tie together, but what we're talking about here is 2 Peter is focused on the believers, on the church. How do we grow to spiritual maturity? How do we continue to grow in the Word? How do we continue to grow and develop to be like Christ? Now, those things are incredibly important in the representation to the world, but this is focused on us as a body, as Christ's, as the believer, as the child of God. Remain established in the truth. Continue to grow in the knowledge. I loved what Phil was talking about this morning. It's not all about understanding the Greek and the Hebrew and the Latin and however many other languages you pursue in that. But it's about understanding the truth. And so coming to Bible study, opening the Word of God, spending time in growing in the knowledge through the power of the Spirit. And that's why we are constantly talking about the fact we need to stay out of the way. It's the power of the Spirit. The only way we will know the truth is through the Spirit's revelation to us as these things happen and enlightenment. Renounce false teachers is the second part of 2 Peter. Discern the truth and stand firm in the things that we believe. I'm going to repeat a lot of things that Phil talked about this morning because they're reinforcing and because Peter said I could. But for y'all that weren't here this morning or weren't online, using the Bible to interpret the Bible. Commentaries are awesome because you can read like 10 of them and then see that 10 different people have 10 different opinions and you need to go back to the Bible, right? But the cool part about commentaries also is a lot of times they will give verses that are referenced, and you can find them in your Bibles, in your study Bibles, and you can go back to those verses, so it helps to facilitate using the Bible to interpret the Bible. But renounce the false teachers and discern the truth and stand firm. And recall God's promises. We're going to talk about that a good bit, and at some point we'll probably jump into the 34 things given to us at salvation. I don't know that we'll study all 34 of them, but there's a few of them we'll talk about. And also, this is very similar teachings to Second Peter, as we were talking about, is going to be some repeats and some reinforcements of the things from Second Peter that Phil will start teaching next week. Titus and Jude. So some of these concepts and some of these things from Second Peter will be reinforced and elaborated upon in those particular books of the Bible as well. So the date and place of writing. I like to give the context of when we get ready to start the book. In this particular case, the letter from Peter. This epistle was written somewhere between 64 AD and his death in 68 AD. Now, how they get to that? So there's some arguments whether Peter wrote this, and it's interesting to me that as you go through the Bible, the further we get away from the Bible being the canon of the scriptures, and this is what it is, the further we get away, the more people have questions about whether or not the people that wrote it actually wrote it. And it's like, why are you asking? I mean, let's just get back to what it says. I think we're pretty solid in the fact that this is the canon of the scriptures. It's the inerrant word of God. But there's a lot of argument as to whether Peter wrote it or either did. I'm going to skip all that stuff. I'm not back into the apologetic stuff as Phil was talking about this morning. And I'm not going to sit here and try to determine whether he did or didn't. I'm going to go with the fact that the Spirit, has said, yeah, this is the word. And so we'll talk about that. Peter was probably in Rome. So the first book, the first epistle that he wrote, the letter, he was in Rome, and we know that. And then he died in Rome. So somewhere between 64 AD and 68 AD, he wrote this epistle, which probably the fact is he was in Rome. And so the context here is when it was written. He's going to talk about the fact that he's getting close to his death. He was still in Rome, and he's writing it to believers to focus on the continuing maturity of the spiritual maturity of the believer. So, the purpose, encouragement to his followers to grow to Christian maturity. Refresh their memories, as I just kind of wrote and talked about in verse 12. Stimulate their thinking. Kind of push on some things. Hey, there was this concept of Gnosticism that was out there, and we'll talk about that in a little bit. Gnosticism with regards to, oh, well, just get more and more and more knowledge and you'll transition to this thing because you now have knowledge, right? And let me actually read something out of my study Bible here, which I thought was pretty interesting with regards to Gnosticism. Because this is one of the things that they were combating back in this time. And if I can find it here. So cults and supernaturals is what they were talking about. And this is the Gnostics proclaimed a kind of knowledge which could help certain spiritual people to escape from their deception and futility of a world dominated by an evil god. Gnostic ideas were already circulating in the first century, but it is not known how close their followers were to Christianity or Judaism. Certainly the early church faced human speculation that were falsely called knowledge. That's from 1 Timothy. And so part of what he's doing here is stimulating their thinking and getting them to discern and understand, recognizing truth versus recognizing false doctrine. Grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ and encouragement in the imminent return of Christ. So that's what the three chapters, that's a lot to cover in three chapters, but Peter did a pretty good job of it. That is kind of the focus, the context, what we're looking at with regards to opening 2 Peter. And I will try to quit saying 1 Peter and 2 Peter. We are in 2 Peter. So if I say 1 Peter, that was probably a slip. It's 2 Peter. All right? Too many numbers. Yeah, 1, 2.
We'll get to 2 Peter part 3.
Yeah. 2 Peter chapter 2. Never mind. So let's jump into the text. So 2 Peter 1, and we will read verses 1 and 2. Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who through the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ have received a faith as precious as ours, grace and peace be yours in abundance through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. So Peter starts with the introduction of who he is. Who's the author? That's why I'm like, I'm not arguing with somebody who thinks somebody else wrote this when it says, hey, Simon Peter wrote it. Simon Peter. So observation here. In the study of the word, observation, interpretation, and application. So in this particular case, we start with an observation. First of all, Peter starts with Simon Peter. He gives both names. You'll see in other areas that he wrote, he didn't always start with Simon Peter. Simon Peter, it's his Greek and Hebrew name. So the audience is a mixed group of Greek and Hebrew believers. Why is that important? Context. So as we're looking at this, in the comments and the things that he makes very clear to us, he's making it clear to believers. This book is written to believers, to his congregation that he had shared the word with earlier in his travels. And so the first title here is servant, right? Simon Peter, a servant. So doulos, literally slave. I am not going to have nearly as much fun with Greek as Phil did this morning, but I will do what I can. If I start spouting off aorist, active, indicatives, and otherwise trying to declare what those are, please stop me because I don't know what I'm talking about, because I don't know what I'm talking about. But I will do what I can with regards to the understanding of doulos. It's a masculine noun of uncertain derivation. All right. So these things came from Strong's Dictionary. I did not make this up. Someone who belongs to another, a bond slave without any ownership rights of their own. That's what the word here, doulos, is talking about. It's used in the highest dignity in the New Testament, namely of believers who willingly live under Christ's authority as his devoted followers. Now, where do I come up with this stuff? If y'all are ever struggling to figure out how you can jump into the Bible study and really, you know, read it and study it, Phil pointed this out. I'm going to use you a lot today. So if anything goes wrong, it's his fault, too. No, now, that being said, BibleHub.org and StudyLight.org, two awesome online tools. You don't have to know anything about Greek and Hebrew and otherwise anymore. You can actually go find all this stuff online, and it kind of spoon-feeds you some of these things. And so BibleHub.org and StudyLight.org actually goes into Strong's Greek Dictionary, and it's got all of the concordances and otherwise. But here's the point here is that the first title that Peter finds in this particular passage that he wants to define himself by or identify himself by is he calls out his name, but his position is bond servant of Christ. That's his entering argument here, yes.
Can you read the definition one more time?
Yes. Believer who willingly lives under Christ's authority as his devoted follower. Doulos. Just let that sink in for a second. That's how Peter is defining himself, out of the gate. He is an apostle, and the next title that he uses comes to recognizing the fact that he has the authority given to him by Jesus Christ, right? Peter was an apostle having the authority to share the gospel and to share the word of God, that authority given to him by Jesus Christ. That's the second title, but the first one is a servant. He does not have any ownership rights of himself. I think that's so powerful to think about that. We as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ are bondservants of Christ. We are slaves of Christ. And that is not a negative term. That is an amazing term to know that. I mean, how would you like to be the slave of the perfect master? That's who we are. That's who we are in Christ. And that is not a negative thing. And then he talks about being an apostle. An apostle, someone sent or commissioned, focusing back on the authority, the commissioning of the sender. So a couple of key points here, just in the introduction of Peter talking to the congregation that he's writing this letter to. Peter takes a humble position of slave, not belonging to himself, before he assumes the position of one carrying the authority of Christ. He humbles himself. We should all aspire to be a bondservant of Christ, not belonging to ourselves, but belonging to him. That's who we are in our new creation. Number two, Christ paid the price for me on the cross. To live for myself is to deny the price paid on the cross. We don't have any ownership of ourselves because Christ paid on the cross everything for us. Otherwise, we're dead. Without the price paid by Christ, we are dead. So we don't have any ownership. He paid for us. We belong to him. Number three, Peter was commissioned by Christ, John 21:17. Jesus asked a third time, I'm reading this to you, asked a third time, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Peter was deeply hurt that Jesus had asked him a third time, do you love me? He said, Lord, you know all things, he replied. You know I love you. Jesus said to him, feed my sheep. So not only does he a bondservant, a slave, not belonging to himself, but he's been commissioned by God, commissioned by Jesus Christ to feed the sheep. And here is the food. Here is the food. And we're going to get into some stuff as we go into 2 Peter that's above and beyond milk. We're going to get into some good T-bone steaks, as our pastor likes to talk. You still allowed to eat T-bone steaks, Pastor Maddox?
Oh, yeah.
All right, just checking. We're going to talk T-bones later. Number four, Peter was coming to these believers as one of them. If we look forward, it talks about a faith as precious as ours, meaning on an equal terms, a faith as precious as ours. And number five, Peter was Christ's servant first and his apostle second, but he did not put his position as apostle above the position of any other believers. He had the authority to speak the word of God. He had the authority to challenge and to correct and to teach. But he came to them as one of them in fellowship with them. And so that was the first part of verse 1, continuing verse 1. To those who through the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ have received a faith, a confidence as precious as ours. As we already mentioned, the context here is the believer. This is an audience of believers. And so they have received a faith. If we look at faith from Hebrews 11:1, interpreting the Bible with the Bible. Now faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. So he's saying here to those who through the righteousness of God and Savior Jesus Christ have received a faith, a confidence in what we hope for. He's speaking to these believers that know, and he already, as I mentioned in verse 12, they know these things. These aren't new things for them. As he approaches them, it's a reminder. It's a confidence. Where do we put our hope? Where do we put our confidence? That's our faith. In Lewis Berry Chafer's Systematic Theology, it says, while faith basically considered must be divinely woven into each one of us, it is ever increasing as the knowledge of God and experience in his fellowship advances. Faith, indeed, vindicates the character of God and frees his arm to act on behalf of those who trust him. Thus, because of the heaven's high riches, which reliance secures, it is termed by Peter once, precious faith. So we're talking about a precious faith. Now, in this particular case, as precious as ours. So that's referring to the preciousness of the faith. It's as precious as ours. And learning some things about language, so this would be a simile comparing one to the other. Equal in value as that of the apostles. So our faith is every bit as valuable as the faith of the apostles. So when we stand and we read the Bible and sometimes we go, to be like Paul or, to be like Peter or Apollos or, they even argue about who they need to be like, right? We need to stop and remember that we have every bit the preciousness of the faith that each one of these apostles have. We have the authority to go out and teach the Word of God. We are not apostles commissioned by Jesus Christ to go, in the title, but we have every bit the faith and the ability and through the power of the Spirit to go out and spread this faith and spread this teaching of the Word of God. It's equal in value for us to the apostles. It's no different for any other believer. And in this particular case, as we look forward into chapter 2, he actually shuts down the Gnostic teaching of false teachers. Right? It's available. They had this concept that this faith and this knowledge was only available to certain people, or you had to reach a certain level of knowledge and things would open up to the inner few. And oh, by the way, there are still some religions that teach this today. Right? I'm not going to get into those because I don't know enough about them to declare what they actually teach, but I can be pretty dogmatic, but that's not the case. We don't reach these inner revelations and all this through Gnosticism. It doesn't require a special knowledge. We all know it requires the filling of the Spirit. That's where we receive the understanding of this precious faith. And it's received on the basis of the righteousness of God and of our Savior. So some key points in the second part of verse 1. All have the same opportunity to exercise our saving faith. We receive the righteousness, number 2, we receive the righteousness of God through our faith in Jesus Christ. It is a gift. That's the righteousness that we receive, one of the 34 things that we receive at salvation. There is no secret sauce, right? No secret handshake, no secret society required to receive the gifts of God. It's done through our faith. Our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and the continuing growing in our knowledge through the faith that we have in the Holy Spirit. And once we receive the righteousness of God through faith, we are all on the same standing before God. We are in Christ. That's the preciousness of our faith. By believing in the Lord Jesus Christ through faith, we become positionally in Christ. That's a title worth claiming, right? Okay, moving on to verse 2. Grace and peace be yours in abundance, multiplied, through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. The gifts of God, righteousness and peace, are from His grace. We don't earn them, we don't deserve them. I don't know about you, but if I was to look into a mirror, I would think, no, I don't deserve righteousness. not the way I act, right? And I think every one of us in self-evaluation over the course of our lives would recognize that this has to be the grace of God. There's nothing that we could possibly do to be declared righteous before God. And we receive His peace. The peace knowing that we are righteous before God because of our faith and the work that the Lord Jesus Christ has done. That's grace. That's what we have to keep focused on as we live our lives, as we get caught up in, I'm not good enough, or I'm good enough. Both sides of the equation are a challenge to us, right? It's not that we are good enough or that we're not good enough. It's that Christ is good enough. And it's the grace that He has given to us through His work on the cross that allows us to have the righteousness of God. These are not earned, nor are they deserved. It says, grace and peace be yours in abundance. In this particular case, the Greek word here is pleithuno. That's as far as I'm going into any details on what that actually, the Greek part of that. So it means in abundance. It actually means to increase or be multiplied. So grace and peace be yours and continue to be multiplied. Through the knowledge of God and of our Lord Jesus Christ. In both verse 1, God the Father and Jesus referred to an equal standing by Peter, referenced the Trinity study that Phil did last couple of weeks. And the knowledge, through the knowledge here, right? It's talking about epinosis. I know we have studied this before, but for a quick refresher, gnosis, I think the easiest way for me to talk about gnosis as an academic knowledge and continue to understand things through gaining knowledge versus epinosis, which is full discernment. I think for many of you that have studied under theme, I do like the term that he used, metabolized knowledge, right? It's knowledge that is developed into our soul and is used through the power of the Spirit. So it's this knowledge, grace and peace be yours and multiplied through the knowledge of God and of Jesus Christ. It's an intimate personal understanding of something. This is knowledge that results in a change. So gnosis is academic knowledge of something, and I'm sure there is a better way to define that, but it's the easiest way for me to keep my head around the differences here. So an example of epinosis, the term used here, knowledge of God the Father and of Jesus Christ. In Ephesians 1:17, I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and of revelation so that you might know Him better. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which He has called you, the riches of His glorious inheritance in His holy people, and His incomparably great power for those who believe. That power is the same as the mighty strength He exerted when He raised Christ from the dead and seated Him at the right hand in the heavenly realms, far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every name that is invoked, not only the present age, but also in the one to come. And God placed all things under His feet and appointed Him to be head over everything for the church, which is His body, the fullness of Him who fills everything in every way. And I go back to verse 18, where it says, Ephesians 1:18, I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which He has called. Epinosis. Right? The eyes of the heart. The understanding of Bible doctrine to the point in metabolizing that for the understanding and the personal relationship with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and with God the Father. Through the power of the Spirit. That's what he's asking for here. Grace and peace be yours in abundance, multiplied through the knowledge of God and of Jesus Christ. As we go further into 2 Peter, and I don't have any idea how far I'm going to get today. Apparently, based on time, not all that far. I want to call out now as we see this, that the knowledge that Peter continues to reinforce is not designed such that we just have knowledge. It's not about knowledge for knowledge's sake. It's knowledge that allows us to metabolize the truth of what the Scriptures say so that it has an effect on our life in our relationship with God, in our relationship with Jesus Christ, in our relationship with each other, in our relationship with the world. And it's not knowledge for knowledge's sake. I have this conversation with people. It's all about the intake of Bible doctrine. Nope. And you want to talk about getting looked at like heresy. It's like, it's not all about the intake of Bible doctrine. It's about the intake of Bible doctrine that affects the way we live our lives and the relationship that we have through the power of the Spirit. It's a means to continuing to multiply our peace, our grace, our faith. And for any of you here that I'm now a heretic, apologies. But I stand firm in what I believe. So rewritten, if I look at verse 2, continue to multiply your peace. I love the way Phil mentioned this morning. I take great consideration in when I'm rewriting this, what the words of the Bible say. So please take this with the filling of the Spirit. Continue to multiply your peace and grace by continuing to know the depths of who God the Father and Jesus Christ are through the study of the Word of God and the wisdom provided by the Spirit of God. That's the way I see this as Peter addressing and initiating a conversation and a teaching with his congregation. Any questions? I'm walking out before this is over. Okay, just checking. I love you. If you want to walk out, we can talk later. I hope that's not too controversial. Verses 3 and 4. We'll start, I'll read these. His divine power has given us everything we need for a godly life through our knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and goodness. Through these, He has given us very great and precious promises, so that through them you may participate in the divine nature, having escaped the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. All right, Pastor Maddox, I'm going to take liberty in saying that if you were teaching this, we have about 3 years of study. And we would all be fascinated by it. I'm not going to take 3 years, but there is some really, really good stuff here. Back to meat, right? We're going to teach some meat. His divine power. His divine power. God's divine power. Dunamis. And I'm probably saying it wrong. Dunamis. Referencing back to Ephesians 1, 18 through 20, which we talked about, I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which He has called you, the riches of His glorious inheritance in His holy people, and His incomparable great power for us who believe. That power is the same power as the mighty strength He exerted when He raised Christ from the dead and seated Him at the right hand in the heavenly realms. His divine power. As we think about the power of God, sometimes we look at hurricanes, sometimes we look at wildfires, sometimes we, you know, yeah, amazing. Oh, he established the universe, He established the world, He established life, all of those things, incredible. The power is the same as the mighty strength He exerted when He raised Christ from the dead. That's the power that nails us right between the eyes, because that's our hope. Christ died for us. We don't belong to ourselves. We belong to Him. Christ belongs to the Father. The Father belongs to Christ. And Father raised Him from the dead and seated Him at His right hand in the heavenly realms. His divine power has given us everything. He gave Christ the resurrected body and sat Him in glorification at His right hand. And He is the same God that did that has given us everything we need for a godly life through our knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and goodness. The same power that raised Christ from the dead, the power available to every believer through the filling of the Spirit. We have the power of God inside of us, available to us strictly by faith. Man, sometimes we lose sight of that. I know I lose sight of that when I'm out running around trying to figure out how am I going to get this thing done. I'm going to get this thing done. I got these things going on. Oh my gosh, I'm worn out. I'm tired. I have the power of God inside of me to get this done. And there is nothing that He cannot do. So why do we worry? Why do we care about whether or not we're going to get coronavirus? Why do we worry about who's going to win the election in 2 weeks? It's the power of God, and He has given us everything, everything through the knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and goodness. We have been called, and He has given us everything. Has given us. This is a gift to every believer. It's been bestowed upon us at salvation. Remember, this epistle is focused on encouraging the believer to continue to mature in our knowledge and relationship with God. That's the context. That's who he's talking to. And he's given us everything that we need. And I love I think we have some still in the back, and we can get some more of the 34 things provided to us at salvation. Through the plan of the Father, the work of the Son, and the power of the Spirit, we have everything that we need for a godly life. Reverence for God. We can't do it on our own. Outside of salvation and the power of the Spirit, we can't have a relationship with God that actually shows any reverence, because all we're focused on is us. If we are a carnal believer, not filled with the Spirit, our whole focus is us. We're saved. Yeah, we're going to heaven. But we're not focused on anything but ourselves. Even when we're doing great works for the world, we're solving the world problems, we're fixing all the social injustices, we're fixing all, if we're running around doing these things, we're focused on us, and the only thing that we are valuing is us. But through the power of the Spirit, we can have reverence for God. We can be turning away from our slavery to sin and our fleshly desires. We can be turning to the will of the Father. That's the whole point, right? It's his will and it's our will. And they don't coincide. Unless our will is following his will, they are at odds with each other because our will is all messed up. Spend 5 minutes evaluating your will and see how long it takes you to realize we are all messed up, right? Turning to the will of the Father and preparing our minds for action. In 1 Peter 1:13, which we talked about last month, therefore, with minds that are alert and fully sober, set your hope on the grace to be brought to you when Jesus Christ is revealed at his coming. As obedient children, do not conform to the evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance, but just as he who called you holy, just as he who called you is holy, so be holy in all you do. For it is written, be holy because I am holy. For a godly life. His divine power has been given to has given us everything we need for a godly life. Reverence for God, turning away from the slave market of sin, turning to the will of the Father, and preparing our minds for action. How is this done? Through our knowledge of Him. Living a godly life, a life pleasing to God, is readily available to everyone of us through our knowledge, epinosis, of the one who called us. It takes the power of the Spirit, it takes the study of the Word of God, and it takes an intimate relationship with our Father, our Savior, and the Spirit of God. That's the Christian life. That's what we're called to do. And who called us? All three members of the Godhead are involved in this calling. The plan of the Father, the work of the Son, and the power of the Holy Spirit. A calling for every one of us to salvation, the washing away of sin, and the new creation where the penalty of sin is removed and the power of sin can be overcome. We are called to a godly life. We don't spend a lot of time talking about sin, although I think last few weeks Phil has covered off on a whole litany of sins, and I'm like, I didn't know that was a problem. Now, I think, was it in Titus that you were covering off on this? First Timothy. We don't spend a lot of time talking about the list of sins. They're there. But we do spend a lot of time talking about the filling of the Spirit because we're not under the law. Here's your list. Don't do these. You're good. No. Here's your list. Don't do these. And oh, by the way, don't do these to the power of the Spirit. And you don't have to worry about all the other 1,500 of them that you don't know about or you don't realize are a problem or that you don't realize you're doing, right? So, living a godly life, a pleasing life to God, is readily available to every one of us through our knowledge, epinosis, of the one who called us. And who called us? All three members of the Godhead are involved in our calling. Who called us by his own glory. In this particular case, he's referring back to Jesus Christ. The unbeliever is attracted to the saving knowledge of Christ through the goodness and the glory of Christ. Phil was reading about Pontius Pilate this morning. If you didn't catch that, please go back and watch. There's my advertisement for you, Phil. But please, no, it was awesome this morning because he was talking about some letters from Pontius Pilate to Caesar after Christ was crucified. And after Pontius Pilate had interactions with Christ, and after he watched how Christ reacted, responded, how he maintained control, he maintained his focus on the Lord, on his Father. Just looking at Christ in the time that he was accused to the time he was crucified, because you want to talk about being under pressure. For all of us, that's probably more pressure than we can handle. But you look at that, and Pontius Pilate's writing to Caesar talking about this man and the godliness of this man, Jesus Christ. Now, we don't know whether or not Pontius Pilate ever came to a saving faith in Christ, but we know that he recognized the godliness of Christ. And these aren't from biblical things. These are from extra-biblical accounts, letters that were sent from, and we still have them today. I'm sure Google has them. But we still have them today, and Phil was talking about this morning, and that just blew me away. That Pilate, because I knew I was getting ready to teach this, that Pilate saw the godliness in Christ and saw who he was. Now, he, I think, actually attributed it to Hercules. Was that the deal? It's like, dude, you... Oh, that was... That wasn't in there. Okay. See, he attributed it to... We don't know whether or not he ever came to saving faith in Jesus Christ. But the fact that he was able to recognize the godliness that he saw in Christ. So who called us? All three. But in this particular case, we're talking about Jesus Christ by his own glory. The unbeliever is attracted to the saving knowledge of Christ through the goodness and the glory of Christ. We don't need to add to the gospel. We don't need to try to make it more appealing. We don't need to spend a whole lot of time trying to write it into the just the right logical thought process for the engineer out there. We don't need to reword the gospel to make it more appealing. Christ, his goodness, and his glory is enough. Power is in the Word of God. Sometimes when I've had the opportunity to share the gospel, I find myself trying to logically align the message so that it seems logical enough to believe. Has anybody ever done that? Like, oh, well, if I say it this way, maybe it's a little more enticing. Wow. I'm not going to call y'all out of it. My own personal arrogance on that particular case, I was like, really? My engineering mind goes into action. I start putting the pieces together to sound just right. And then God reminds me that the power is in the Word of God. The power is in the gospel. The attractiveness is in Christ. That's who it's about. This is not a logical man. This is not a decision that the logical man will make. In fact, it says it's foolishness to the logical man. But it's a spiritually discerned truth. And so when the Spirit of God starts working on the unbeliever and convicting them to the truth of the gospel, it doesn't matter what we say. Just get out of his way and give the gospel. Because if we jack it all up, which every one of us has done at some point in our life, then we spend the next 6 months worrying about whether that person's condemned to hell because I messed it up. I love what Grady said. Hey, Grady's dad. You didn't save him. You didn't do the work. It's not your responsibility. Just give the gospel. And he had some more interesting quote than that. But that's the gist of it. What attracts the natural man, the unbeliever, to a saving faith is the message of the Spirit about the goodness and the glory of Christ. Just allow the Spirit to speak the message through you and watch Him work. And let me see here, see if I'm going to jump into this. Nope. I'm not going to jump into that because I'll be halfway through and then we'll have to figure out where to go from there. So in closing this morning, I want to read a psalm and you all can follow along. And I shouldn't have grabbed this Bible. But please turn to Psalm 103. My wife and I were reading this the other day. I'm not going to read the whole thing, although we have time. We always have time, right? Give me just a second. So if you guys are wondering, like, why do I keep changing Bibles? This is a chronological Bible, so it's written, so all of the... It's written in chronological order as they were written or as things occurred. And so Psalm 103 may be, like, after Ezekiel. And so finding things is difficult. I realized I grabbed my chronological Bible. It's fun to read that way, though, because it kind of ties everything together. But if you'll turn to Psalm 103, is this your Bible, Pastor Maddox? This print is huge. This is awesome. No, I love it because I can read it. I see why you got one of these. Let's start with Psalm 103. We'll do this in closing, and then we'll pray together. Praise for the Lord's mercies, a psalm of David. Bless the Lord, O my soul. And all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget none of his benefits. Who pardons all our iniquities, who heals all of our diseases, who redeems your life from the pit, who crowns you with loving kindness and compassion, who satisfies your years with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagle. The Lord performs righteous deeds and judgments for all who are oppressed. He made known His way to Moses, His acts to the sons of Israel. The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in loving kindness. He will not always strive with us, nor will He keep His anger forever. He has not dealt with us according to our sins, not rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is His loving kindness toward those who fear Him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has He removed our transgressions from us. Just as a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear Him. For He Himself knows our frame. He is mindful that we are but dust. As for man, his days are like grass, as a flower of the field, so he flourishes. When the wind has passed over it, it is no more, and its place acknowledges it no longer. But the loving kindness of the Lord is for everlasting to everlasting on those who fear Him, and His righteousness to the children's children, to those who keep His covenant and remember His precepts to do them. The Lord has established His throne in the heavens, and His sovereignty rules over all. Bless the Lord, you His angels, mighty in strength, who perform His word, obeying the voice of His word. Bless the Lord, all you His hosts, you who serve Him doing His will. Bless the Lord, all you works of His, in all places of His dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul. May God bless the reading of His Word. Heavenly Father, we thank You for this time together this morning. We thank You for the repetition of Your Word and recognizing the simplicity of our faith that's a gift from You, the grace that You give us. Father, we just thank You for the chance to open the Word and see the consistency throughout the epistles, the consistency from Genesis to Revelation. Father, You have given us all things, and through Your power, we have the ability to do Your will. And we thank You for that. We praise You for that. And we ask that You will continue to be long-suffering in our failures and recognizing that You have done all of this for us, and all that You ask is for our faith. We thank You, sir, for who You are and what You do for us each day. In Christ's name, amen.